He's an amazing singer who's been compared to the late Marvin Gaye. Crazy, because the album almost didn't happen.
Rebirth of Marvin wasn't even supposed to come out. It was just an experiment. And I just put it away on my hard drive. And Snoop was like, oh, no. We gotta let the people hear that.
Yes, he's been working for years with hip-hop legend Snoop Dogg. So his new tour, it's not exactly scary to him.
To go on the road with Snoop and do 50,000, 60,000 people in a stadium, that was the start for me.
The multi-talented and award-nominated October London, now
on The Pulse. Oh, baby, even take me back to
guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. Happy to be here talking to people who are doing things in music, entertainment, you name it. And our guest today is doing all of that. He actually has been on the scene for a minute, but is blowing up, is on his first headlining tour. Mr. You've probably seen him, Fox Watchers. He was on Empire. He's doing shows. He's singing theme songs. He's getting nominated for all kinds of stuff. But now he's on tour. October London joins us. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule.
Anytime.
Well, and the schedule, like kind of starting there, the schedule's about to get crazy. So you've been, you know, in the game for a young guy, been in the game for a minute, but now it's all you. So what's starting right now?
We're doing my first headlining tour. Yeah, I've been in the game for a little bit. I started doing music this is the 20th year that I've actually been doing music. But I didn't come onto the scene until about 2016 with Snoop Dogg, and just been doing shows with him since. And now it's my time to shine, you know.
20th year doing music means that you got started when you're like a teenager.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, for sure. I'm 37 now, but yeah.
It's always, you got the young guys with the old head energy. You're like, oh, I've been in the game for 20 years since high school.
Yeah.
Okay. So had a minute. How'd you get started in this?
I got started. I met Snoop Dogg through Jazzy Faye. And I met him end of 2015. I met Jazzy Faye through a mutual friend. And 2016, around the beginning, right before Super Bowl, he had Snoop call me. But once I got Jazzy Faye's number, I hit him up, sent him some songs, and just tried to send him music for like T.I. and 2 Chainz and all these Atlanta cats. And I ended up sending him one of my R&B songs called Colorblind. And yeah, I didn't know that he was on his way to go link up with Snoop, and he played Colorblind for Snoop, and Snoop just wanted to sign me immediately. So he called me the night before the Super Bowl and was like, hey, I got to have you out. And March 16, 2016, the rest was history.
Those stories are always incredible to me. Like, yeah, I'm just doing my thing. Ran into Jazzy Faye. He listened, let Snoop hear my music. Just like that. Like that type of connection. But you come from a musical family, right? So this whole thing wasn't new to you.
No, it wasn't new to me at all. No. My mom could sing. My dad plays guitar. You know, my uncles could always sing. And you know, everybody kind of gathered around as far as the holidays. And we just all love playing music all the time. So I grew up on Teddy Pendergrass and Marvin Gaye, obviously, and the Isley Brothers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I've been listening to old school music for such a long time. So this album is kind of a paying homage to Marvin.
So did you know then, like in the musical family, did you know at that young age that that's what you wanted to do, or just kind of came natural?
No. As a matter of fact, I've... When I was a kid, I wanted to be a truck driver. I had no musical.
That turned hard left in the discussion.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I was infatuated. I'm still infatuated with cars, but at a young age, I was infatuated with trucks for some reason. So, you know, I wanted to be a truck driver, and I actually went to truck driving school. Actually, right before I got with Jazzy Faye and ended up signing to Snoop, I was graduating truck driving school a couple weeks after the fact. So, and I quit that. I was like, forget that. And I went straight to Snoop's.
So you really were not pursuing actively. I mean, you were doing music and you were clearly writing things and trying to get in the game, but you were preparing, you know, for the real life job on the road driving trucks.
Yeah. I was going to be all over the road trucker, man. I was, I wasn't at that point, you know, I was older, obviously, you know, we're talking about 2015. So, you know, at that point I was just like, you know, I just want to do the 9-to-5 thing. Music isn't working out for me. And I had already quit like 12 times already, but you know, this was the ending for me. You know, I was like, oh, forget it. I'll just do this 9-to-5 thing, which is fine. Obviously I did it for so many years, but yeah, I guess that just wasn't in the cards.
You got to stop with the older, man. I was an old head. I had just turned 29. I was like, life is all behind me. It's time for me to keep moving forward. So what's that like when you're kind of pushing along with music? I mean, obviously, if you're connecting with people, you're still writing, you're doing things. You were in it, but then it's kind of a big step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so much different because, you know, the way Snoop brought me onto the game was – you know, I didn't start off doing like little, you know, before the Jazzy Faye thing, I would, you know, do little club stuff like that. But to go on the road with Snoop and do 50,000, 60,000 people in a stadium, that was the start for me, you know, backing up, you know, doing a little backup for him. But I never opened for Snoop. He never had me do that. He always had me come out and rock the stage with him and be on stage for a couple songs and just completely kill it. So yeah, I've never opened up for him at all. It was just me and him side by side. So he let me, you know, off the chain immediately. And then, you know, now headlining my own, they're like, oh, are you nervous? And I'm like, not at all. Not at all. I'm already used to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've done it. You've been out there. So they just basically, Snoop pushed you in the water to find out if you could swim.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And he found out I could swim. Now in real life, I can't, but.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that next, because if you're going to be touring, going to all these different places, continuing to blow up, going to the beach, you got to be able to at least swim, man.
Yeah.
So then if it's not, what does this feel like now? Because you've already done arenas, like you've been in some of the largest possible audiences that somebody could, but now, you know, now you're headlining it, now it's about you. Is it a different energy?
I wouldn't say it's a different energy. I feel more like I can reach out and touch the fans a little bit more. Like being on stage with Snoop is different from now, because being on stage with him, it's this big crowd, there's security barriers in between, there's, you know, you can't just, I felt connected, but not too connected with the crowd. Now with me headlining my own and them coming to see just, you know, me, that's big for me. Cause now I'm closer to the crowd, you know, cause these shows that I'm doing, these 2021 shows, I think we added one more to the list. We added Kansas City to the list. So the tour actually ends on March 7th, but you know, now I'm able to meet with my fans and do the meet and greets and all that kind of stuff and be close to the crowd. So that's big for me. I like having a relationship with my fans besides on like Instagram or X.
So you like that stuff, because there's some people, when we've done interviews with folks who were like kind of pushing to get to the types of performances that you've already done, but they came through the meet and greets and getting a chance to spend that time. You miss that, but want it?
Yeah. That's something that I want. I know maybe some artists just like to have that length, you know. But I like to be close with the fans, man. It's because of them that I'm even able to go out and do this. You know, like we sold out a lot of our shows. I don't know exactly which ones, but I think majority of them are sold out right now. You have to check tickets and all that kind of stuff. And well, you know, I feel great about this, man. I really do. I really do. It's a blessing.
It feels like in listening to your music, and obviously, you know, huge tours are fun, but it seems like your music is the type that may even be better in that kind of intimate setting where you could sit there mm-hmm. and connect with people and sing to people. That old head energy we were talking about, it seems like that better suits your music.
Yeah, it does. It does. And the biggest thing I like for, you know, all the fans and all the listeners to know is that, you know, this is just, you know, chapter one of me putting out a certain type of music. I'm a multi-genre artist at heart. So, you know, we got the rebirth of Marvin, but then I just released my single Eternity, which is a very John Legend, Adele kind of ballad. And that's on The Color Purple. I just got on The Color Purple soundtrack. So, you know, it's definitely a huge difference between the two. And then next is going to be pop, and I'm doing EDM house music and all that kind of stuff too. So
just want to try all this stuff? Like, why is the lid being taken off when you've already had this level of success with what you've already been doing?
I get bored a little quick, you know, with stuff. And I like to dabble in different genres because it keeps me fresh, keeps me new. I like to bounce around in different genres because it makes me feel a certain way. You know, not all the time I want to listen to love songs, and not all the time I want to listen to, you know, pop songs, or I want to listen to reggae all the time. I like to jump around, just like going back and forth to radio stations. And my goal is to be able to be heard on all platforms, you know, on Billboard. I want to be on Country Billboard. I did release a country song. I released a country song on Day Shift on the Jamie Foxx film with Snoop Dogg. And I released a country song called, well, I Don't Give a D. So I released that as well. And that was one of the biggest songs on the soundtrack. And nobody knew that was me. So it doesn't even sound like me.
So, you know, how do you define yourself? I mean, I'm sitting here and I didn't even know all the stuff. I knew, you know, you've done theme songs for, you know, Snoop and Martha Stewart. You're on The Color Purple. You've already had number ones in adult R&B, you know, as you're young in doing it. Country, you know, EDM. How do you even define yourself?
Just different from all the other artists, because there are a lot of artists that want to be just like all the other artists consistently, always. They're having a hard time finding their way, you know. They're like, you know, even when like the Migos group came out, I was like, you know, maybe I should do that, because at that point I was just trying to get on, man. I was trying to be the next thing out, and I was like, well, I need to go this route, I need to follow this route. And Snoop was like, nah, man, just let's do this. Because Rebirth of Marvin wasn't even supposed to come out. I was just doing it to be doing it. I freestyled that whole album. That album was done in a week. And I just put it away on my hard drive. And Snoop was like, oh, no, we gotta take that out. We gotta let the people hear that. So Rebirth of Marvin wasn't even supposed to come out. It was just an experiment.
So I actually read that. So that's a true story, that you all were just in the studio, music is playing, and you just kind of knocked out an album, say, go ahead, put that one with the rest, and it ends up being this level of success.
Yeah, Back to Your Place was done just off the top, and it was done probably in about an hour. And then, like I said, the rest of the album was just knocked out. But I was like, I don't know if I want to do old school. And, you know, nobody's doing that right now. And then, obviously, you know, Anderson .Paak linked up with Bruno Mars, and then they released their stuff. And I was like, well, maybe. Then I saw their success that they're getting from it, and I was like, well, maybe the people do want to hear that kind of stuff. So I was fighting Snoop on dropping Rebirth. I was like, they don't want to hear this, and look at it now, you know, it took off.
I think I'd love to be a fly on the wall of that conversation, because you're talking to a dude who does sports commentary, he's on the Animal Planet, he got a cooking show, hip-hop albums, whatever, and was probably high. So then you're sitting there trying to have the discussion about how do we go ahead and get focused. Those have to be some interesting discussions you guys have.
It is, man. Me and him have a incredible dynamic. Our best conversations are pretty much between the hours of like midnight to 5 a.m. Like he barely sleeps. You know, he's always working. So, you know, during the daytime, we kind of see each other in the studio walking past. And it's just like, hey, what's up, man? Hey, are you working? Yeah, I'm working. That's all of it. But then midnight, 1 o'clock comes around, and we're just vibing. We're listening to music consistently, all the old school stuff, just trying to figure out what the next step is. And, you know, I think I'm going to do one more installment of the Rebirth Marvin. It's not going to be called like Rebirth Marvin 2 or anything like that. We're working on the title now, but the next album's already done, and I'm going completely just straight funk with it now. I'm going like up-tempo, Studio 54, Rick James. It's going to be crazy.
Is this, again, listening to the music, people who have seen it, you're talking about all of this, your music is so diverse that people have a hard time sometimes identifying that it was you.
Yeah.
Coming back to the Rebirth of Marvin, we were talking, myself and producer in studio, we're talking before you came on, about whether that level of talent and smooth voice and people sitting there going, is that Marvin Gaye? You know, did I not hear that one before, that version? I was trying to figure out if that's a blessing, you know, or can it also be a curse, you know, when you are the voice that some people are associating with a legend?
Yeah, it can be a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because people love it, but it's also a curse because now it's like, okay, you know, you hear people say, you know, oh my goodness, you know, you sound just like Marvin Gaye, or oh, which is fine, you know, I love Marvin Gaye, but you know, Marvin is Marvin. Those are huge, huge shoes to fill, and those are shoes I do not want to walk in whatsoever. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. It just so happened that Snoop was playing Marvin Gaye throughout the studio. And he played several songs of his, and I just kind of bled off into that, and that's why I did it that way. But you know, it can be a curse as well, because now people are like, they're saying things like, "Oh, you're the next Marvin Gaye."
Right.
That's not what I'm trying to accomplish whatsoever. So I don't know. I love the fact that people are enjoying it. They're really enjoying the music, but I don't want them to think that I'm the next Marvin Gaye. That's not me. I'm just a multi-genre artist. I'm just different. Like I said, the next album is going to be a little bit different. And then the one after that, it's going to be, I might go, you know, mainstream pop. I might go reggaeton. You never know. It just depends on what vibe I'm in.
You do recognize that it is unusual that any artist even has the capacity to do that. Like, we were just listening to Marvin Gaye, so I decided to sing, and people said, wow, you sound just like Marvin Gaye. Then yeah. We were just listening to country, so I knocked that one out, and people... Like, you do understand that it's a very cool and unique talent.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It blows a lot of people away because they listen to, we'll play some of the Rebirth of Marvin tracks, or we'll play even the new tracks, and then we'll play a country song. And they're like, oh, who is this? And they'll start naming off country artists, and they'll just, you know, Snoop will be like, nope, that's October. And then they'll play a pop song, and they'll be like, who is that one? That's October. And they just keep playing different genres. And now, you know, these studios and these labels are now coming to the studio to come hear it. You know, we had, you know, Faith Evans in the studio come check out some of the music. We've just had so many major artists just want to come, you know, see what I can do. And, you know, the fact that I can do these songs so quickly, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
We've been blessed to have a lot of successful people come on the show. And some of the real old heads, not just the old right. head energy, talk about how there was an industry that was always trying to paint them into a corner. Like, we want you to be more of this, be sexier, dress a different way, sing more about sex than love, sing more about love than sex. But they always tried to make you be one thing. I don't imagine, I mean, listening to what's going on with you and the people you work with, it doesn't sound like that's happened to you, but doesn't it also make it then harder to kind of market you when you're getting out there putting it out? Because people are like, well, he does everything, but so where do we put him?
Yeah, that's always been the biggest fight before meeting Snoop. Any label that I had meetings with, or any you know, execs or A&Rs that I had that I've had meetings with, was always like, oh no, you need to stick to one genre and then call us. It was always that. It was stick to this, and that's it. And, you know, painting you into a corner, but that's just what labels do. Mainly just because they don't know how to market it. They're scared to do it a certain way. But then here comes Snoop, that, like you said, does Martha and Snoop, you know, he does, you know, Corona commercials, he's doing commentating, he's doing all these things, and Snoop is just open arms to it. He's really joyful about it. He's like, oh, awesome. Oh, I'm working on this movie with Jamie Foxx called Day Shift. It's vampires, and there's this scene, and I was like, okay, I got music for it, and I sent it to him. He's like, see, that's what we love. And he's not afraid of us, you know, moving to another genre after this Rebirth stuff, because what I do is, I go on Instagram all the time and I do my lives. I go on my lives and I play all these different genres, you know, the more hardcore R&B, the more like Tank and Tyrese type of R&B. And then I'll do the Eternities. And then after that, I'll switch it up and I'll do a country just to see what the fans think. And they all love it. They're just like, this is really you? Like, oh, when are you dropping this? When is this coming out? And then they all navigate towards that. So I've already locked in with the fans, and they love the fact that I can bounce around, because some of them, they don't want to hear R&B all the time. They might want to hear something else, you know? So that's been the biggest struggle with any label is just is really honing in on one genre. But Snoop loves the fact that I do all of them.
And I will second what he just said. He's a good follow on social media, folks. So I encourage you to follow him. Scrolling through, he's absolutely right. You never know what you're gonna hear in that moment. Right. And you're always. Right. I found myself going, "Wait, is that his song? Like, who is going on with that?" All right. So right now, in the moment, the tour is the rebirth of Marvin. So that's kind of what we're focusing on tour. Coming to Philadelphia February 19th. But for our national audience, he's all over the place. So follow him on social media so you can see when he's coming to your city. But when we come and check you out for the Rebirth of Marvin tour, what are we going to see?
You're going to see originality. You know, you're going to definitely see originality. You're going to see an artist that's been doing it for quite some time that wants to do nothing but entertain, you know, the fans. You know, I'm an artist that just loves the fans and loves being with them. So, but you're definitely going to see originality and you're going to have a good time. I promise you that.
Anything like there is the songs obviously from there, but are we going to see any of the stuff you were talking about? Is possible you just break out in country during that concert too?
No, we're not. I'm not going to break out any country or anything off the cuff. I am, though, going to debut a couple songs off of the new album. So those I happen to squeeze in there. So I think two or three of them I squeezed in there. So you will hear a couple songs off the new album that's going to be coming hopefully soon. I'm trying to drop that the first quarter.
Man, this is fun. This is a good story. I appreciate you sharing it with us. I'm almost afraid to ask because the answer could be anything. But so next album, next movie, next commercial, next, like, what is there a long list of what's next?
There's a really long list. We're talking about me doing a headline of my own shows, my own tours overseas, because I've toured with Snoop overseas, obviously, and got a pretty big fan base over there. So we're talking about going overseas. We're working on a couple shows that I'm spearheading. Hopefully I'll be director of. I don't want to say the name of it yet because we're still working on it. But yeah, it's a lot going on. It's a lot coming. So, you know, be ready. Gamma and Larry Jackson at Gamma and Snoop, they're going to keep me busy. Trust me.
Very cool. What's your advice for the next generation coming up behind you? You clearly have had a little bit of an unusual journey. So what's your advice to people who, like you, don't want to be painted into a corner?
Yeah, my biggest advice is just be yourself, be you. I know that might seem a little cliche, but in the music industry, it's a fight to be yourself. It's a fight to do the music that you want to do. Don't do the music that somebody else wants you to do. If you're not happy doing it, then you remember, you gotta go on stage and do these shows and do these songs consistently, you know, maybe for the rest of your career. You know, if you end up having the blessing to be, you know, have a long career. But remember, if you don't like these songs or you're like, oh, okay, they're cool. Remember, you gotta sing them several times and you're going to get tired of singing them if you really don't like them. So I just say, be you and be original and find you a label or a exec or somebody you can get close to that knows you and wants you to be successful and be happy.
And I feel like you're inspiring a bunch of people who are out there trying to grind, but keep having people trying to stop them from that level of expression. So we appreciate you sharing that. We're looking forward to the tour. Every episode of The Pulse ends with the concept of use your voice for good. We want to know how people are inspiring others. What does the phrase use your voice for good mean to you?
Well, use your voice for good. The first thing I think about is helping people, because anything you say now is tracked and logged, and you know, you can put things on Twitter, you can put things on Instagram, and they can screenshot it and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, just make sure that if you have such a big voice on social media, or just if you're doing music, doing shows, just know that people are listening. And there's a lot of things that I say that resonates with a lot of people, especially with the whole truck driving thing. I've met maybe two or three people so far in the last couple months that are like, I was about to do that, or they're doing that now and want to come see the show because of that. So just, you know, use your voice for good and say as many positive things that you possibly can, because we already have a lot of negativity going on in the world already. We don't need more.
And I appreciate your time. This was fun. Like, I'm happy for your success. I will be looking closely at all of the various things. I saw that the vampire movie that Snoop was in. I'm going to go back and find the song.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that was him too?
That was him. Yeah, as soon as Snoop jumps out of the out of his truck, I think that's when they link up, and he comes around the corner down the street, and it's a aerial shot, and that's when it's playing, you know.
I appreciate you. October London on the Pulse. He is on tour. Get tickets. I encourage you to get them now, because as he pointed out, depending on the city, they are selling out quickly, and you're not going to want to miss it, because you have no idea what you're going to see in that show. You just know it's going to be good. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with recording artist October London. He was just fun. Like, there are people who it's just a pleasure to talk to. Their energy is positive. Their outlook is positive. He seems to be enjoying the things that he's doing and just taking it all in stride. And then you remember, as much as he talks about being an old head or an old soul, 37 years old and has been doing this since he was a teenager. So that was fun. I will continue to follow his career. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I do. A reminder that you can check out past episodes on YouTube. They are all there. Some great guests over the, almost 2 years that we have been doing the podcast. And we're now streaming on Connected TV, Fox Local. You can find those episodes on Roku, on Android TV, on Apple TV, on Fire TV, Amazon, you name it, you can find us on Connected TV. So check it out. This is the third season. They're telling me third season starting in February. Wow. February 20th. Wow. That's a whole nother episode, folks, because there was a lot that went into getting this show up and running, and there is a lot that goes on behind the scenes that maybe one day we'll just sit down and do an episode sharing all of the things that go on. We'll turn the camera around and you can see the wall of fame, those types of things. Anyway, that's a good reason for you listening on podcast to check it out on TV or video or connected TV as well. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you, whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good one.